good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hello, and welcome to the third episode of Blessing of Frost. I just want to take a second and thank everyone who's been listening to these episodes, the first two that we've had. And Kern tells me we've had about 900 downloads. That's not age, that's total, but we'll take what we can get so far. And that is even a much larger number than I believe, which I don't believe it.
No, it's true. I checked the server logs to verify because I didn't really believe it myself. But yeah, over 900 downloads for both episodes total over like close to 2 weeks here.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, definitely.
So, speaking of the episodes, you might have noticed, or you maybe didn't notice, that this is actually coming out a day earlier than usual, and that's because we want you to be able to listen to Blessing of Frost while at your midnight release, or while you're installing Cataclysm onto your computer, or just sitting around waiting for the servers to flip over to open Cataclysm content. So we're actually recording this on Sunday the 5th, so you can listen on Monday the 6th, and our next episode will come out on Tuesday, December 14th.
Excellent. And I understand that we have a special guest today, huh?
That we do, Madge. Our guest today is one of our very own holy priests, Obscene, known as O. But you probably know her best in the blogosphere as Estrus, the co-writer over at DivineAegis.com, and she has her own blog, too, called The Stories of O at thestoriesofo.wordpress.com. Hi, and good morning, O.
Good morning, Kern. How are you?
Tired. How are you?
I am good. I have a soda. I have some baked goods. I am trying to make do.
Delicious.
Yes, it's actually a morning ritual of mine. I actually do not start my day without a Rice Krispie bar and a Diet Coke. And I'm deviating a little bit, and we're going with a 7-Up and a brownie. So hopefully we get the same results.
Excellent. Always glad to hear about baked goods. One of the best
Thank
things
you.
I get to enjoy on any given day.
I would love baked goods right now. Seriously, I would kill for a brownie. With that, we'll head into our Lore Master segment, where we talk about our week, basically. What happened? Did we have a good time? Did we have a bad time? Were things just wacky? Madge, how about your week?
Sadly, less wackiness than originally hoped. I usually aim for a certain quota of wackiness, but it was not achieved this week.
Oh, that's upsetting.
I know. It is depressing. This week was filled more with paladin leveling and sadly not much mage playing. And I guess the paladin hit level, I guess I'm like level 36 or 37 right now, and was very excited to hit level 30 and get dual spec for 10 gold, which at the time I had no idea you got at level 30 now, and it only costs 10 gold.
So ridiculous.
That is completely insane, but I was pretty excited because I was kind of hoping to go holy, but the Qs are just much better as tank. Yeah, much better as tank.
Yeah, when the Dungeon Finder first came out, I would queue up as both a tank and as a healer, and I think for the first 3 weeks, I got pulled in as a healer once, so I got to be pretty decent at tanking back then.
Well, there you go. And I guess, sadly, my luck with bad players has continued as I was struck by a string of terrible paladin tanks today, and other such poor DPS. Oh well.
So I've been experiencing that on my death knight. I've been leveling a DK tank, and I actually wrote about my experiences, and it's kind of strange how the Dungeon Finder works. Like, you know, there's obviously a shortage of tanks, but when you do try to be that tank, people really do have their guns out, and they really, or their claws out, and they really just go after you, and they really pick you apart, and especially if you're really trying and you really want to be a good tank. Like, I was trying to, because I'm new at it, you know, I knew that I wasn't ready to just charge in and do that yet, so I was trying to be really smart and pull and be courteous and then make sure people were ready. And, you know, I was really surprised at how hateful some of the groups can be. And I certainly don't expect anybody to be grateful. Like, it wasn't like I was looking for that reaction, but I just didn't see any sort of appreciation for the fact that you were trying and that you were, you know, attempting to tank. And I admit I wasn't prepared for how nasty some groups can be.
Yeah, I feel like even, it's especially at the lower levels, any more of the heroics, at least over the past few months, have been, you get in, you do your group, and that's it. I guess maybe people are so overgeared for the content that there isn't the issue of death or dying or any of that, so it doesn't come up as much.
Well, it's lower levels. I find it's lower levels with people who have alts, because the first thing I hear is, well, I have a DK tank in 80 and I can do that. And I'm like, well, when I hit 80, I can do that, but I'm 63, so we need to scale it back. And if it's a low level player who's new to the game, they don't really know, you know, they think you're doing a good job. They've never seen what people are doing at level 80. So they just look at a level 63 doing your job and they're very happy and pleased, and, you know, or it's the opposite, you know. Because I'm guilty of that too. Like when I used to, you know, if I'm tanking and I see a druid or a priest healing, you know, I have to really stifle myself to say, you know, I have a priest and I don't do that. You know, I have to remember I'm not on that tune anymore. I'm on a tank. And, you know, it's really easy to, you know, use that as an excuse to, you know, launch off on a tirade.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. Being able to go holy has been a lot of fun. It's interesting. I've done, I did a fair amount of priest healing back in, what was it? I guess vanilla into a little bit of BC.
Actually, lots of BC.
Yeah,
right?
Lots of BC now that I think about it. And this reminds me a lot of that priest healing back in the day with when you used to be able to downrank a lot. And I love stepping out of things and casting other things like Holy Light. And I'm excited to have this discussion because I enjoy Holy Shocking and Holy Lighting, except I enjoy stepping out of Holy Light.
And I just don't get that. I'm not going to go all the way and say you're doing it wrong, because I am not there when you're healing, thankfully.
Thanks.
I think it's a good mentality to take into Cataclysm with you, that mana is a precious resource and you should step off if the person doesn't actually need the heal, but it's good to, you know, get the cast started because it's obscenely long, right? I mean, it's like 2.5 seconds.
2.5 at that level if you don't have the proc.
It's so bad.
It is bad, and it's the only reason that I end up stepping off is, yes, you end up, they may not need the heal. Even if they do need it, you can usually time the cooldown on Holy Shock to hit that where that Holy Light would have been anyway, and then just getting more Holy Power on the meter for free heals is where it's at.
So basically you're starting a Holy Light cast to eat up time before your Holy Shock comes up again.
Right, so just in case you need the extra, just in case there is a crit, you can let the Holy Light go off and then still hit the shock afterwards. And if you don't, the shock's cheaper, the shock will usually do what I need it to do if I'm stepping off, and it builds towards more delicious things.
So are you, like, stop casting? Like, is that what it is?
No, I'm jumping or whatnot. That's the age-old crypt kicker, the MO of jumping out of my cast.
Right, that's what I was just trying to say. I was implying that you're basically casting spells and then doing something to not cast anymore.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Another. Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, basically, Holy Light is so cheap in general. It is our cheapest spell, if I am not mistaken.
It's just, right now, at least at the level I am, it's only like 7 more mana expensive, but it is a little bit more expensive than Holy Shock, which is why I've been stepping off it.
Ooh, 7 mana. No. I understand the logic, but because you don't have holy, or rather, you don't have divine light yet, right?
Yeah, no.
Do you know when you get that?
Like 50-something, maybe?
Oh,
it's
geez.
Late.
Okay, so like what you're doing right now is you're building good habits for divine light, because that costs a crap ton and is the same cast time as holy light, whereas you don't really want to step off of flash of light because it's so quick, so there's like no point in like sort of queuing it up.
It's sort of like having heal back on a priest, and I don't have G heal yet, so normally that would be the place of the G heal, but I don't have it.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I remember that Crypt used to, wind up these huge G-heal rank 1, if I'm not mistaken, and step off that constantly, depending on the tank's current health. But that's... Really, you're learning how to heal as a pally at a really interesting time where, you know, all we did was just spam Holy Light throughout this entire expansion, basically.
Yeah.
And so I'm really used to just letting it go. Like, let it fly, let it ride, whatever you want to say. Like, just let it go. And I honestly hadn't played like that before, except on, like, a couple of fights back in BC, like on Tidewalker. Like, I was literally spam casting Holy Light, never even interrupting it, because you needed that heal to get off if the tank was hit. Because, oh god, the crushing blows on that guy were terrible.
They were tremendous.
Horrible.
And yeah, I don't know. It's been fun to learn how to play Holy, and again, it reminds me a lot of my priest back in the day. And yeah, no mage playing, still just waiting on Kata. I feel like there's a lot of people that are waiting on their mains until Kata and just playing alts.
Oh, that's very true. I mean, I'm not doing a whole lot myself. Seriously, I can't believe that your dual spec costs like 10 gold. I want my 6,000 gold back, please.
Oh, good 6K, God.
6K, man. Oh.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, I cannot imagine. 10 gold, it was flooring. I was shocked.
I'm scared to see what that's going to do to the population. Maybe it'll bring out more tanks, maybe it'll bring out more healers, but it'll probably bring out more people who don't really know what to do with either spec. Let's see, what else have I done? I've been working on Inscription on my warrior. I got him to 425, which was painful. I just need 25 more points to get to 450, obviously, and then unfortunately I need to get him to 75, because at 75 is when you get to learn the new rank of the professions at 75. Yeah, so he's like 73, and I hate him with a fiery passion. So
what
that
needs to be done needs to be done.
See, I didn't mind leveling Inscription. I actually did it on a shaman, and I thought it was quite easy. I have to say the most painstaking experience for me right now is shield crafting. It is so painful, and I'm only at like 130. Like, I'm not even that far into it, but I feel like I've already drained so many of my resources just to get to that point. I can't even imagine what it'll be like once I get to the 200s or 300s.
Honestly? Like, 300 plus is so much easier because you're actually cutting gems and you're not making all of this other crap. And, you know, honestly, it does get better. I did want to chime in about the whole tanking thing. My warrior is a tank. I don't know how to DPS on a warrior. I suspect it would be pretty laughable. really humorous.
DPS in general? Oh.
Thanks, man. I've been tanking a little bit, trying to get him up to 75, and I'd just like to say, does no one know to kill the skull first? I mean, it used to be that if you put a skull on a target, people would go, oh, I should kill the skull first. And like, I can understand if there's a lot of symbols that they don't know what to kill first, I can get that. But if it's the sole symbol among four mobs, wouldn't you think that that's the one that you would kill? Apparently not.
You think any symbol would be, hey, someone cared enough to put this above this mob. I should probably do something about it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not doing this for my health, people. Kill the damn skull. And when
I'm sort of doing it for your health, I guess.
Shush. And when I've actually asked them to kill the skull, they still don't kill the skull. It's like all of my threat is going towards the skull because I'm anticipating that they will kill the skull. And like, do people not understand that the spell flingers in Old Kingdom are bad, bad things that need to be killed or interrupted or both, preferably at the, like, as soon as possible? Apparently not.
Well, you have to understand, too, that for a lot of these instances, people didn't need to mark. You know, there was no, you know, people really haven't even seen those symbols, I think, in quite some time. And I think that's why Blizzard made such a big, you know, show out of revamping the symbols. I don't know if you've seen what they're going to look like in Kata, but they're really bright, really gaudy, you know, almost like disco lights beaming down from the skies telling you what to mark. You know, the whole area around the mob will match that color. It's pretty grand. And I think, you know, again, because people haven't seen them in so long, they really have to do what they can to get people interested in them, because you're probably going to see people that are like, what's that do? And it's like, that's a mark. And you essentially, I've said it before, I really think Cataclysm is going to be a learning experience, and not only a learning experience, but a teaching experience. Like, there are so many concepts that those of us that are already familiar with them, we're going to have to teach people. And it's going to go both ways in terms of educating.
I tend to agree. We're going to have a lot of new people showing up, or, you know, older people like Wrath era players, especially, who really are unfamiliar with some of the things that we had to do back in the day. Like, I remember Gar before raid icons, which was hilarious. It's like, okay, assist me. This is your target, Warlock. And they would do so. And, like, you just did not want to lose your target at all. Like, you would just stand there. Like, I think it was Tia who would just, like, stand there and not touch anything until the pull, just to make sure she didn't lose her target.
And even some... I'm sorry.
No, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, you had mentioned the classes of players that may have to deal with the learning. It may even be people that have been here the whole time who've never left, but who've just gotten so spoiled, or who've just, you know, really caved to the bad habits that Raph, you know, got us to do. Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. You know, I, you know, and it felt like, it kind of felt like every other instance was a habit generator. Like, when I first started Naxx, I was a druid. I life bloomed my way through that whole place. I didn't cast anything but life bloom, maybe a rejuve, and I got really used to that, and I figured it would always be like that. Ulduar came along, and you couldn't do that anymore. You had to nourish, you had to regrowth, you had to swift mend, and I really liked that it shook me out of the bad habits. Then TOC came along and put you back in the bad habits, and that became rejuve blanketing, and, you know, you really didn't have to do anything other than that. ICC came along, and it was kind of a combination of the two. The bad habits were still there, but there were some fights where you had to break out of it, and it just seemed like a tug of war, where, you know, you would get used to something, then you wouldn't, and then you'd fall back into it, and I really like the Katas really firmly pulling the rope in the other direction in, no, get rid of all of those bad habits and start anew. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how about you, O? How was your week?
I really haven't been doing too much. You know, I feel bad because, you know, I read your post and I see the thread we have about, you know, people getting ready for Kata. And it's not that I'm not getting ready, but I don't think I'm doing so much. Like, a lot of mine is internal. Like, I'm just really trying to psych myself up for this. I'm trying to get used to the idea that I'm not going to see my alts for a long time, that it's going to be, you know, focus on, the healing, learning my healing, learning the fights, being good at the fights, getting my professions max, you know, just really getting ready for that, because the next couple months are going to be, it's all business for me. I certainly want to have fun, but, you know, there's going to be no time to play my Death Knight. There's going to be no time to, you know, save heirlooms up and things like that. It's on. It's officially on. We are at Cataclysm Eve, and I'm also trying to figure out, you know, what alts I do want to level, because I don't want to be as alt happy as I've been. I've been doing, you know, some dailies. I've been doing some things that people are doing just to pack their quest logs, and, you know, I was in the beta too, so I've already got my itinerary pretty set, and I've got my days off of work, and I'm really just ready. I'm really ready, and I'm just, it's kind of like when you're really hungry and someone tries to give you the bread basket, and you're like, I'm just ready for the meal. Just don't waste my time. Give me the food. And that's where I'm at. I'm ready.
Yeah, I think I'll be trying to determine if I can call out of work that week as well, or a couple days at least.
This week, not that week, this week.
And that's the thing. I mean, we had the carrot dangled in front of us for so long that we're so used to speaking in the future of, you know, Kata will be here soon and I'm going to be ready when it's here. And no, it's coming. I think, what, 48 hours-ish? Like, yeah. We got to start using present tense. And
Tuesday
we're there. Yeah.
No. Monday night, Tuesday morning.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I think that'll move us over to hot fix our patch notes and updates and such. Anything exciting in your wonderful world, Kern?
Really not so much, no. Probably the most noticeable thing that I've noticed is that they seem to have fixed Light of Dawn appropriately, so you don't have to be in a party anymore to cast it, which I found really humorous. Like, you could be in a party and cast it, no problem. Or you could be running while not in a party and cast it. I don't understand. Like, you had to be in motion in order to cast it. Yeah. So they seem to have ironed that out, if I've checked it out right. Apart from that, though, not a whole lot in terms of pallies or other classes that I play that I've noticed.
Not much patch stuff in general.
But I would like to point out that we were wrong yet again. Thank you, Blizzard, for making us wrong 2 weeks in a row. They nerfed all that wonderful, beautiful, amazing low-level dungeon XP.
Oh, no.
I wonder if we could say something like, holy pallies are super weak right now and they'll never buff us. I wonder if that would then, like, make them buff us, you know, just to prove that we're wrong yet again, but maybe we could use our powers for good, you know?
Man, I'm so... Ice block should totally not be used multiple times in the same minute. No.
Well, if we're going with that mentality, then the holy priests are certainly going to get what they want based on what I'm seeing in the healing boards.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, in terms of hot fixing and things of that nature, chakra, and I feel like I eat, live, sleep, and breathe chakra. I have a chakra guide that I enjoyed writing. I love updating it. I've been a big proponent of it. I love visiting other blogs to see what people say about it. I really love the spell, and I've been working really hard to get other people to love the spell because it doesn't sound like they do, and I don't really understand why. I think it doesn't deserve a lot of the flack that it's getting right now, and I've been working really hard to try to counter that. However, I wasn't expecting what I experienced. Since 4.0.3, chakra has been really buggy, particularly in Icecrown Citadel. There's about a 50-50 chance it won't work. And what I mean by that is I will cast chakra, and I will cast a spell immediately after it to go in the chakra, and it doesn't happen.
Wow.
I remember when we were doing Lich King, and we were doing the transition onto the ledge for Remorseless Winter, that's normally the time I would go into Sanctuary, I would pop a Sanctuary, I would get in that mindset, and I'm literally prayer of healing, prayer mending, and it's not happening. And I'm watching just the plain chakra tooltip fade away, looking at me going, why didn't you pick a chakra state? And I did. And I remember actually saying on Mumble, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
It never happens before. Man.
I remember trying to tank heal on Blood Princes. I was trying to heal Dayton. Dayton's always been my assignment. And I, same thing, chakra, heal. Heal's the only one that can activate it initially. And I'm literally heal, 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 and it didn't happen. And I was still able to keep them up, but I that's really not cool. Like, especially when you base your reaction around having that chakra, and it's kind of scary. I did put something on the bug forums about it. Didn't get any feedback back that I'm aware of, but it's kind of discouraging.
Well, I mean, that's very upsetting. That's one of your key talents. And to have it have a 50-50 shot of working, yeah. that's a little embarrassing. I do remember you complaining about it on Mumble, in Healer chat and everything.
Especially because it's one of those big things that they're all about, you know, priest chakra. Come on, try out the priest. It's all new and improved and cool now.
Right, and I kind of feel like the best metaphor is jumping out of a plane and your parachute doesn't work. You know, I really plan on having that work. And I think also, too, it doesn't help the critics, because the critics are looking at it going, aha, it doesn't work, we were right. And no, chakra's wonderful. People need to like it. People should like it. This is just temporary. You know, I don't want this to be what people use as their focus. You know, I want people to see. And again, in the defense of it, too, it was only in Icecrown Citadel. If I'm sitting in Dalaran or Ironforge, 100% proc rate, never a problem. If I'm healing heroics, never a problem. If we do, I think we did Ulduar. I think I putzed around in that later. Flawless, never a problem. It was only ICC that it wasn't very reliable. So I don't want people to focus on that. I just don't.
Way to go, Blizz. Way to go.
Yeah.
Victory again.
And now time for our slash raid segment, which talks a little bit about our raid week, if anything nifty happened and the like. So what happened was during the week of American Thanksgiving, the fake Thanksgiving.
The real Thanksgiving.
Fake.
Oh, two to three. You lose this week.
Damn it.
Our Thanksgiving doesn't involve whale blubber and igloos, so.
Oh, boy.
Whoa. Okay, that's a discussion for another time. note to self, put O in the shadow realm. Okay. So we basically saved our 11 of 12 ID from the week before American Thanksgiving. And we plan to spend two nights this week, Tuesday and Thursday, getting down the Lich King on 25 man. We've done it a few times in guild on 10 man, but there was still a bunch of people who didn't have the title, a bunch of people who wanted the title, and we really wanted to legitimately get the Lich King down before Kata came out. And turns out we didn't need two nights. We didn't even need one night. We got him down in 8 pulls, which I don't even know where that attempt came from. That was just a great attempt that time. Even with Hestia, one of our healers, our rested druid, she DC'd and got stuck in Remorseless Winter and then died.
Ouch.
And we still managed to pull it off. So I was pretty excited about that. We also went back to Ruby Sanctum and did Halion again. It was really cool because you could see we went in with more or less the same group. I mean, probably about...
I sadly wasn't there for the last time, but I had done it a couple times.
Yeah, like we went in with probably about 17 or so people who had been there the week before as well. And we really learned from our mistakes the previous week, where it took several pulls, several attempts, several adjustments. And then we walk in there and trash went pretty well, except for General Zerithrian, or whatever his name is.
That first trash poll ended so terribly.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, who was that mage who screwed that up? Was it?
Screwed up is a very relative term, as that was a purposeful, whoever the mage was, ice lance. But it only resulted in one death, and the death was acceptable.
Yes, that any death of magic is an acceptable one.
Exactly.
So we went in, we did Halion again, and it only took us two attempts this time. And that, for us, is spectacular. That was a great progression for us. It was really nice, because like most of the fights that we've done, there are some of us who are really familiar with them, so we know exactly what's going wrong everywhere at all times. But with the two different realms on Halion, it's like we're not really sure maybe what's happening in the other realm, and so we're communicating a lot more. And anyway, so like one attempt was, the first attempt resulted in a wipe when our shadow tank got just too close to the cutters.
Ouch.
Yeah,
so
I
nice.
Know. That's painful. The second attempt went flawlessly. It was great. I was pretty proud of that. I do need to mention that it appears that the Pally boots, the foreshadow steps, do not actually exist. I've killed that bastard 13 times now.
Wow.
And
nothing, huh?
Nothing. And then Walks, my holy Pally buddy who's come over to us, he has also killed Halion a couple more times. And between the two of us, it's probably 15 or 16, maybe even 17 attempts at kills and no boots. So
I would like to add my attempts to that too. Two tunes, a druid and a priest, and I've never seen them either. So,
oh my god, they don't exist?
Nope.
Jeez. And it's not even for me. Like, Apple was with us, and she's wearing these 213 boots, which are amazing boots for their eye level.
You mean the ones with the blue gem in them?
Yes, and I told her that was okay, because I was convinced that she would get decent boots. Unfortunately not. But, like, you know, 213 to 271 would have been a really nice upgrade for her. And,
silly.
You know, I would have known that they existed. But they don't, so.
So, end of story.
Exactly.
Well, on another somber note, there is somebody else who's also not maybe seeing what she would like to, and I do have to say this. Legs!
Oh my god, yes.
We had a holy priest who, I guess, was a little new to the fight, and I don't think she knew or that anybody told her that you don't release during the Lich King roleplay. And when Lich King killed us and began, you know, the cinematic and everything, she released. And when everybody was, you know, ecstatic about the kill and they got their titles, she was like, I released, and oh god, my heart out to her.
Yeah, I gotta take the blame for that. I mean, I just took for granted that everybody knew you don't release, and like she didn't get killed by Fury of Frostmourne or whatever. She released just before the rest of us died, I believe. It's like literally seconds, because otherwise she would have had the debuff, and like, your soul belongs to the Lich King or whatever. And so she clearly didn't have that and released. And I just feel really bad. So, Legs, I'm so sorry. Well, don't worry about it. We'll get you a better title in Kata.
And those titles do sound really cool. I think I saw some of them. Like, they're Dragon Slayer and really epic.
Oh, yeah. Some great titles coming up. It's going to be great.
Did you actually open a ticket? I think there was talk of trying to get a GM to give her Kingslayer. Did that pan out?
I actually did contact a GM, and then I got told that I don't own the account that I'm talking about. And it's like, well, no, I don't. I was her raid leader. I'm her guild master. She was in the raid. So, I mean, she could probably try to do it herself. I should probably tell her to do that. Anyways. So, basically, that's how we closed out our raiding week in Apotheosis.
I say week, you mean raiding expansion.
No, hell yeah. That's it for the expansion. And now we're heading into Kata. We're not planning on raiding until January 4th. So slash raid will not happen in the next few podcasts. We'll talk probably, I guess, on the podcast we record on January 3rd about our upcoming week and what we're planning to do. Assuming, of course, that that's still when we're planning to raid. Like, that's our tentative start date. And I hope that everyone's ready, and I hope that, you know, it'll show that we're dedicated and, you know, pushing forward quickly enough to be able to raid then. But I'm not going to hold my breath on it. I'm prepared to, like, push it back if we need to.
Well, let's hope we can kick some people before then if we or not even kick, make sure that we can give people the proper help they need if anything is really going wrong.
Exactly. And apart from that, well, we just welcomed Serious Business to the guild. That's a Shadow Priest. So welcome aboard, buddy. That's basically it for raiding and guild news for the expansion. Next up, Cataclysm.
And so I guess we'll hit up the guild tab now, where we're going to ask O a few questions about her tune and some of her in-game times and all those things. So what is the history of your tune, O?
This tune that I'm playing now is actually was an alt. It was my main, of course, was Estrus. I was a Resto Druid for 3 to 4 years, actually. I was looking forward to Cataclysm, like many of us were. I knew that Druids were in a really strange place going into Cata. We were losing tree form, or getting a different form of it.
Yeah, we weren't. Form.
Right, we weren't getting any new heals. I was fortunate enough to get a beta key, and you know, the combination of the mechanics that changed, my experiences in the beta, and just my own personal kind of disconnect with the class, I just wasn't feeling it anymore. It was just time to, I had a good run, time to be something else, and I fell in love with the Holy Priest, and it just fit. It was something I could really see myself loving to do, and see it representing me, and I've been doing it since.
That's definitely, you know, our good fortune right there. Really glad to have you on board as a Holy Priest for us.
Yeah, it's like I said, I don't do things I don't love to do, and I didn't love the Druid anymore, and I really wanted to be something that I felt was, that I could see myself doing day in and day out and being good at, and it just happened to be that, so I was really happy.
Excellent. How about you tell us a little bit about your favorite memory in WoW?
I have a couple. It just depends. I'll only narrow it down to one, but it just depends on like the factor. Vaj is my favorite fight to this day. I remember being a Resto Druid and getting the first kill with my guild. I was in Scurvy Dogs back in the day. It was a pirate-based guild. I kid you not. To this day, wow. They still greet you with Yars in guild chat. I'm not making
That's
this up.
Awesome.
Thank you, and looting the booty, the whole nine. So our first kill was Vaj, and I remember being a Resto Druid, and when you got to the point where the bats, the spore bats, were spawning, and they were dropping the goo, and the tank had to drag her through, and for me, being a Resto Druid, it was auto-running hot. My job was so easy on that fight, but to me, it was the suspense of the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and the ground is covered, people are dying, not many people are left, the tank is, you know, I'm running out of room, where do I drag her? And I'm just running out of room too, and it just nail-biting suspense, and then she dropped, and it was, oh my god, I love fights like that where you don't know until the last second what's going to happen. I love that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that really definitely mirrors our own Vaj kill, which was insane. Like, we only lived through it due to a really extremely lucky lay on hands crit from me onto our tank Dayton.
Yeah, the other moment I'd have to say I'm proud of would be my Amati Bear. I love that thing, and that was the... It made it really hard to reroll, because I knew I would never be able to ride it again. So, tear.
Aww.
Sad pandas.
Yeah.
Alright, well, on to happier things. How about you let us know why you joined Apotheosis?
I joined Apotheosis. I knew Kern through Cody, obviously, and I really had never experienced anything like what she was pitching at the time. You know, the concepts for Apotheosis were so foreign to me, and it's not even that they were terribly exceptional. They're really simple things, but, you know, they're things I've just never, people have not really been willing to try. You know, the idea of being progressed and still being human and still, you know, not giving in to the social degradation that a lot of guilds do when they start doing well for themselves is such a novel concept. The idea of healing assignments, I haven't seen a healing assignment in ages. And, you know, she just was really wanting to do a lot of, you know, return to a lot of old school concepts that I really enjoyed. There was nothing wrong with the guild I was in. It wasn't like I left them. I was looking to leave them. I just felt it was time. I felt like, you know, the guild I was in, their roster was already set. I wasn't sure they would necessarily have a spot for me wanting to go from being a druid to a holy priest. You know, I tried you guys out for a couple of weeks and I really liked what I saw. You guys were good. Good, but not at the expense of being really unpleasant people. And you guys had room for me. I felt like I could really just make a go of it. And it had to be big for me to go from Horde to Alliance, because I would not do that for anybody.
Well, we're really glad that you did. And is there any reason that you chose a dwarf over the other classes that were available to you?
the pigtails. I have to go there. I love the fact that they whirl when I cast. I like the personality. I like that they're, you know, kind of fun and boozy, and, you know, it's a fun class, and I tend to go for very unconventional appearances. I was like a walking cow for 3 years, so I don't necessarily have to be conventionally pretty, but I'm a pretty cute dwarf, and I like my hair and my little facial features. I love the emotes, and, you know, I try to be different in my own way, and you don't see many dwarf priests around, so I thought it was a good representation of me.
Very cool. So how about you tell us what you like to do in-game besides raid? I mean, I know you've got a DK, but is there anything else that you like to do?
I've never really been a big PvP-er. I did some arena back in the day. There's been some talk in the guild about rated BGs, which I'm really excited about. So if somebody does end up, you know, taking the helm and forming the group and everything, I would love to do that. PvP is really painful if you don't have anybody you can count on. Like, I'm not a fan of just soloing BGs and expecting 24 people or, you know, 9 people to do the right thing. I can't do that. So doing it with people like our guild, I would love to do that. I'm not really big on achievements. I did do the Explorer, which I was really proud of. You know, I hate to say it, but I'm really just a raider. Like, I love seeing content, and I love killing things, and I love, you know, just that process. I don't really fish. I don't cook. I don't do any of that. I know nothing about that way of life. I do want to keep the alts kind of low this time around. I think ideally I would like to have a tank alt, a DPS alt, a pure DPS alt, and a healer, and just keep it very fun. I don't want to get burned out. I'm not opposed to taking time off when I don't need to raid, like, you know, the days we don't have to raid. So I don't know. I don't spend too much time in the game when I'm not raiding, I hate to say.
Fair enough. I may have a ton of alts, but really the thing I like to do most in the game myself is raid, so I completely understand where you're coming from.
And also, too, it helps people not get sick of me. Because, I mean, guilds in general are very much like family. And if you do, and it's really tempting when you have a guild that you enjoy to, you know, do your 3 days a week of 25 mans. Oh, look, they're doing a 10 man. There's another 3 days. Plus, you're doing alt runs of people. And if you really are spending 7 days a week with people, I don't care who you are. You know, they could get sick of me. I could get sick of them. And I don't want that. I've had that happen with guilds before. And I really want to like my guild. I really want to come on every day and be glad to see them and have it be fresh and not be tiresome. So I've learned that in my travels too, just to kind of, you know, absence can make the heart grow fonder. So I really want to practice that this time around.
That seems like sage advice to sort of not burn yourself out, not get tired of the people with whom you're raiding. If only Magic and I had thought of that, you know, a month ago when we started thinking about this podcast. All right, so here's your special quirky question. Since you spent most of your World of Warcraft history playing a druid, what is the one druid talent or skill or ability that you'd like to be able to have for your priest?
Oh, God. Oh. There's so many ways to answer this. With the mana bankruptcy that I'm experiencing right now as a holy priest, innervate, please. Love innervate. I love the ability to shapeshift out of things. I think that's really cool, too. I'm gonna say the innervate, honestly. I really liked it. It was so dependable. I got really used to how it worked. I'm gonna say that.
Nice. Excellent. Definitely reasonable. Innervate is a pretty ridiculous skill.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem dependent on other factors. You know, I've got Divine Hymn, but okay, if I'm taking a lot of damage, the channeling time is going to go down faster. Shadow Fiend has its off days. You know, it's just too many factors, whereas Innervate was very, it happens the way you want it to. That's what I like to see.
Nice. All right, and with that, I guess we'll move along to our general chat for the week. I think this week we'll be discussing Cataclysm again. I guess we sort of did a little bit of that last week with Shattering Excitement, but we're discussing more actual expansion stuff.
This is all about Worgens and Goblins, and okay, well, maybe not so much, but like this is definitely about the expansion itself.
It's about general sort of tips when you're moving into the expansion, just because we talked about earlier, stuff is changing in instances and pulls and CC and all sorts of good stuff. And there was a great post on MMO Champion this week of what Wrath players need to know not to suck in Cataclysm. And we'll have the link on the notes for the podcast. But there's some great great tips on here for everyone. They have a section for everyone, DPS, healers, tanks, and I just wanted to pull out a couple of them because they're really important, and some of them are specific to Kata, but some of them are, for example, the first one's be mindful of your positioning, which is going to be important in Kata, but as far as I'm concerned, has always been almost the number one important thing in general.
Yeah, like, don't face pull a group of mobs. Like, don't just stand there in front of your tank and, you know, take that one step forward or totem pull or anything like that, or pet pull. God help us if that happens.
Yeah, where you're pulling any extra mobs due to totems or pets, especially in the expansion where you're not going to be able to do that and get away scot-free because you're just going to wipe.
Yeah, it's going to just ruin you.
Yeah, they have a couple things about running away from your tank if you have aggro as opposed to close to them. And that's all been pretty general stuff even until now. I guess the reason that they're suggesting you make note of it now is because it's going to become highlighted a lot. And it's going to be much more noticeable if you're not paying attention to that kind of thing.
Well, I wasn't necessarily seeing people run away from it. I was seeing a lot of DPS that were, I'll handle this. And it's like, you know, if you're the mage that has the mob, give it back to the tank. Like, you cannot solo that mob. Like, don't be a hero. Give it back to the tank. So that's what I took from that caveat. Not necessarily the running away, but, you know, because you'll see people. I've been seeing people that will just stand there and they'll pop a couple cooldowns and think they've got it and, no, you don't have it.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, having someone off tank something for a short period of time, sometimes that may be necessary. I mean, we used to do that in vanilla in BC all the time, but when it's not called for, when it's someone who's just, you know, yanked off of the tank and the person doesn't have, you know, a tanking
plate.
Yeah, well, plate or, you know, a bear form to fall back on or something. Then, or you know, if they're not going to kite. Like, if it's just some, you know, enhancement shaman just, you know, wailing on the thing, it's like, well, okay, no, give it back to the tank.
And I think you bring up a really important thing, which is down closer, it's under the DPS, but that I'd love to bring up right now is kiting, which was used almost not at all in Wrath, but back in vanilla was staple, like 100% staple.
Oh my god, kiting Drakasath to the Beast's Room, or, you know, Vale's Room, was always fun. I got pretty good at it. I eventually gave that duty over to Hunter Toga, who thankfully was better at it than I was. But I mean, like, that's where you learn how to kite, and kiting was not only a valid form of controlling an ad, but was really necessary for a variety of reasons on a variety of fights.
Yeah, definitely. And again, like you were saying with Drakasath, it's not even just for mobs that you need to take care of. It's for bosses. It was for everything. And it may not have happened as much now, but it was on Vash. I mean, hardcore, right there. Great kiting example in BC.
Of moving her around and stuff, yeah, for sure.
And the Striders.
Oh god, yes, the Striders. I totally forgot about the Striders.
Yeah, that was the big one. So, yeah, that's something that people have to certainly pick up again to make sure that you're keeping everyone alive, and I guess right along with kiting is CC. If you don't have the ability to kite, then maybe you have a CC ability.
I just hope that what we're moving into will not be exactly a duplicate of BC era. I mean, it would suit you fine. But seeing people asking in, you know, trade or whatever, or in looking for group for, you know, two more DPS must be mages. Like, that drove me nuts. I mean, like, as a hunter, maybe my CC is not as reliable as a sheep, because I can't spam a trap. But damn, I know what to do with my traps, and I can keep something trapped for, you know, indefinitely.
Well, I can say from experience that everybody's going to have to CC, and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing shamans hexing. I'm seeing rep paladins, or, you know, using repentance. I was asked to mind control, and I don't want to say, like, I'm agreeing with them that certain classes can't CC. Like, I know what you're saying from BC, but I think a lot of it was just bad experiences. You know, you were seeing hunters who didn't know how to trap. You were seeing rogues who were bad at sapping or just refused to. So, you know, I think a lot of what people say in trade chat, it's not that they're saying it blindly. It's that they're seeing it. They're seeing the player base behave that way, and that makes them, you know, throw up those reservations and those stereotypes.
Exactly. The question is, do I want a good hunter like you who knows how to trap, or do I want a mage that can spam the sheep button? Well, mm-hmm. obviously I want the hunter that's going to do the job I need to have done.
Yeah, exactly. Who, like, knows how to actually control an ad versus, you know, sheeping once, DPSing, then not realizing that their sheep has popped, then turning around and going, oh, I should probably sheep that.
By yeah. which point it's dotted and not going back down.
Exactly.
Which I guess is another one that relates to both CC and trapping, and that's making sure that you're watching your AoE, which was another big part of Wrath, but is going to be a very serious issue if you're running even any more than like one sheep, or even in one sheep, where if you're dotting something incorrectly, like a mage pops when you have the cooldown on, or the fire blast cooldown, where you're spreading your dots around and you're gonna hit sheep mobs or any cleave or whirlwind or anything like that.
Well, isn't there a glyph that allows you to have your polymorph remove all of the dots and stuff on it?
Indeed there is. Do priests have the same thing for shacking?
No. The only thing we had, I think, was we have shackle of something undead. I don't remember what it is, but no, if ours did anything close to that, that would be incredible. Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, shack is just, according to Wowhead, it's just a 5-yard range, which is good.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as the sheep glyph. And I do know that the warlocks, the seduction glyph, it'll do the same as the sheep glyph too. So if you're trying to seduce something, because remember, like they have another pet. It's a succubus,
yeah.
And it can seduce something, and that's also a valid form of crowd control.
Well, succubus was always really subpar back in the day. Like, I mean, that was something where I remember in BC, if a warlock had a choice between fear bombing and using the succubus, they would always pick fear bomb because succubus broke, it felt like it broke much easier than other forms of CC. Like, it was never reliable.
That's true.
And as I think we spoke last week, that they reduced all the damage to break fears. I'm not sure if it was just specifically on player characters, but they reduce the damage it takes to break fear and Frost Nova, but fear and all that. So it's going to be even shorter if you're hitting those
yeah.
mobs.
Well, that's just kind of scary. Like, we're going in and we have all of these tools, but I don't know if they're going to work the way that we're expecting them to work. You know, some of us older players are hoping that, like, seduction works better than it did, but, you know, Frost Nova, it would be nice if that, you know, actually rooted a mob for more than 3 seconds.
Yeah. So, we'll see, and people need to make sure that they're learning when to use their AoE correctly, and certainly not on fights where crowd control needs to be used, but it's a brave new world, and, yeah, I mean, a lot of their other suggestions, if your target's casting interrupted, feels like it should be known in general. Just the CCing and kiting are things that feel like they've been lost over this expansion.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and just say right now that people are not ready. They're honestly not ready. And I remember thinking that when I was in the beta of just the mass, you know, the majority of people, they're going to have no idea what hit them. And I know that's normally said in such an exaggerated fashion, and it's meant to, you know, kind of taunt. There really isn't any meaning behind it, but I genuinely mean it. And I think we need it. I think we need the challenge. People need this wake-up call. And in some really sick way, I look forward to seeing people struggle again. I look forward to being out of mana again. I look forward to seeing a tank, you know, run around and try to gather up, you know, so many mobs. And I look forward to seeing DPS have to deal with people breaking their CC, because I want to see people overcome that. I want to see the people that can deal with that and come out better players and come out stronger players. And not everybody's going to. You know, there are going to be people who are very overwhelmed and may not be at the caliber we would expect them to be because they're not able to cope. And they may, you know, there may be some second thoughts there. Am I really ready to do this? But I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing the madness, if you will, for the couple weeks or couple months. And I'm excited about it in a really odd way.
Oh no, I definitely hear you about that. Just the only way that you end up testing your limits is being at your limit, which has not happened almost at all in this expansion.
Right. And like I said, it's going to be an interesting form of natural selection, I think, because, you know, I don't want to say that certain people didn't really earn their merits in Wrath, but we're going to see if they can really earn those merits. You know, you were topping DPS meters in this instance where you didn't have to do anything. Well, now you've got to do stuff. Can you still top those meters? Is it even about topping the meters anymore? I look forward to just seeing how we reevaluate what makes a player great, because in Wrath, it really did get dumbed down. I healed the most. I killed the most things. Well, that there's going to be more to look at than that now, and I really hope that that comes through in Cataclysm.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be really interesting to see how people who are used to using their utilities are going to react. I think that those of us who, you know, trapped, for example, in BC and Vanilla, I think, like, will welcome a return. I remember the first time I ever ran Gundrak on Kern, I'm trying to CC stuff, and everyone's, like, just, you know, charging in and AoEing, and I'm like, guys, no, I don't need to trap, but okay. Yeah. I was disappointed. I was looking forward to using my CC. So when I was in the beta on Kern, I was really enjoying, you know, pulling things into a trap, using distracting shot to kite something if I needed to, sicking my pet on it to OT for a couple of seconds if my trap was down, that sort of thing.
Going back to our applicants and just how great the applicants have been, we've even been asking that. I don't think that's an actual question, but I know, you know, when I'm sitting in on the Mumble interviews, we're asking them, you're a hunter, you okay with trapping stuff? Or we see a mage, you okay with counterspelling? And it seems to me like the response we're getting is, yes, please give me something to do. And the responses that I'm seeing is people are happy to. They're thrilled to have a job to do again. And, you know, to Kari, I think we even brought up the sapping thing. Do you remember how to sap? And he's like, yeah, I'm cool with it. And I like that. I like seeing people who want more for themselves. And I look forward to giving them sap targets and giving them mage targets. And I'm excited.
So am I. I'm really looking forward to actual use of CC. The only time I can really remember using CC in a raid situation this entire expansion, two small points, like, in the Bloodwing, it was nice to have a Repentance or a Shack up on one of those things, because Bloodwing trash is brutal. And in Ulduar, just before General Vezax, we would often, in my guild at the time, sap something. And that was really key, because if we didn't, we were dead. And I liked that.
And I have to say that my own motivations for wanting CC are a little selfish, because we as healers, it's going to make our job easier when the run goes well. As a healer, you're going to be able to tell, like, instinctively when things aren't happening. You will feel that you're having to put more heals out. You know, you will feel your mana bar going down faster. And you'll also notice when it goes well, you know, you'll be able to tell something's not CC, this person's taking damage, somebody's standing in something, they're taking more damage. You know, you will benefit more from it when your group does everything they need to. And you will feel it when they don't. And you will notice, and you literally won't have the mana to endure it. You won't. These people are, I think this is the first expansion where, you know, we've always been, as healers, we've always had the mentality of, I'm going to heal you and you're going to like it. And now it's going to be, you know, you have spells where the person has to choose to stand in them, like Healing Rain, Efflorescence. You know, if the person chooses not to go there, they can refuse your heals in a sense. Or something like Lightwall, where they choose not to click on it, or,
right,
you know, if the group chooses to not make your job easier, you're going to feel it. And as a healer, that's going to be very strange to get used to, because we're so used to just raining heals and people take them willingly and it's a beautiful thing, and it's going to be more complicated than that.
Yeah, it ended up falling a lot on the healer. I mean, not necessarily that it's the healer's fault if you're wiping, but I felt like you could heal through a lot,
right,
of stuff. Like, a whole lot.
Yeah, you could heal anyone through damn near anything except, like, a focused fire from, like, the Trash and Halls of Reflection heroic. Like, barring that, you could base, if you were a good healer, and you knew the instance, you could basically anticipate and heal through damn near any mechanic.
It's really going to bring back party synergy. I know that there's been an attitude lately of entitlement of people who feel, you know, I don't need you, I'm a healer, I don't need you, I'm a tank. We're going to need each other, you know, and I know that sounds very Barney, but, you know, everybody's going to need everybody to do their part. And if the healer, you know, if the healer isn't getting the help from the DPS, I can't heal you. If the tank's not marking, the DPS can't do their jobs. It's really going to bring back that mentality of no one person is better than the other. No one class is better than the other. We really are in it together. And I think it's also going to encourage people to stick around. You know, we've gotten so used to, you know, my tank looked at me funny, I'm going to bounce. Or, you know, my rogue didn't add a poison, he's fail, I'm going to go. I think you're really going to need to stick these runs out. And it's going to be really tempting to leave at the sign of the first broken sheep. But, you know, it's not going to get you anywhere. You're going to get more from sticking around and teaching these people what to do than you would if you just took that attitude of, okay, bye.
Absolutely. And actually, being reliant on others in your party, I find it a little bit scary based on what I've seen. But that brings up a really good point. When it comes to cleansing, not every class can cleanse every debuff, right? Like, not every healer. It's we will all be able to cleanse magic, which is great. So, like, nobody but the healers can cleanse magic. Fine. But what is really important is for, like, mages, chamois,
druids
to actually take the time to look for things like curses, poisons that we might not necessarily be able to cleanse. You know that chamois don't have cleansing totem anymore? They can't remove diseases or poisons anymore. They can just do, like, curses and magic. And, like, to me, I don't play my chamois that often, but that was a huge blow. I miss cleansing totem. And knowing that there will not be a cleansing totem in Cataclysm for me, by anybody, like by any chamois that I'm grouped with, is a little bit horrifying. That means I'm going to have to work really hard to make sure that I'm cleansing everything I can, and to make sure that anyone in my party who can cleanse a curse is on top of things. Like, I highly encourage anyone who can cleanse anything to install Decursive. And if you have any issues setting it up, our guildy Durista put up a really great guide to configuring it and all the options. And I'll definitely relink that again. I think we linked it last week or the week before. It fantastic post, and everyone who can cleanse anything really needs to install that.
And I think Blizzard was kind of even paving the way up to that point. Like, I remember being a druid and Pitaceron came out, Heroic Pitaceron, and there's that ramp after Ick and Crick with the diseases. I was a pretty geared out druid. I mean, I had, you know, my trauma, my heroic gear, and I remember having to say, can you get that disease? Because I couldn't heal through it. I could be popping Nourish, I could be popping every cooldown. Those diseases hit really hard, and some people were really cool about it. You know, you would see the Enhancement Shaman that would say, not a problem, here's a totem. You would see the Rep Paladin, I can help you, not a problem. And even Halion, I think it's really great that they made the debuffs on Halion cleansable by numerous classes.
Yeah,
and I think it was really great that you, Kern, also asked people, you know, if you can cleanse yourself, please cleanse yourself. It doesn't matter if you're a Shadow Priest or whatever. And that made me, being the de facto cleanse girl for some reason, that made my job a lot easier, because it was nice where I could, you know, focus on healing somebody else if I needed to. And yeah, it was great.
It's always been kind of a tough time to get anybody who's not healing to get in the mindset of making sure that they indeed do cleanse themselves or other people. And that's why mods like Decursive or anything like that have always been a pretty big boon, at least to just making people aware that there's something you can do about this. And, you know, unless you're like the druid tanking or anything like that, you have the extra GCD, toss, you know, cleanse some people, do some good for the party. That's a lot of what we were talking about earlier, where you're not just, it's not just damage. You need to help everyone to help you.
Yeah, I remember the days of, let's say, you know, you're at the tail end of a fight, even in a five-man, and your healer drops, and let's say the boss is at 7%, you know. I remember the days where the Elemental Shaman would throw heals out, or I remember the days the Shadow Priest would go out of Shadow Form and heal. I don't think I've seen that in ages, and I look forward to seeing that. Forward to seeing that, just seeing, you know, somebody like Ocephala, who I know would do it, you know, maybe swap out a weapon and I've got this, and at least try to get through the fight, not just, you know, keep throwing lightning bolts and hope it's enough. You know, it's not enough.
Absolutely. It's going to be a really interesting way to see how healers and non-healers alike deal with various damage. Something that I don't think people are going to understand at first, no matter how often they hear it, is that no one is going to be topped off all of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to be a real shock to most people. I mean, you and I, we've been fortunate enough to be on the beta, and we've healed on the beta. You've even done raids on the beta. And I think that, you know, that experience is priceless for us, because we know not to panic and break out the really short, fast, expensive heals just to top off everybody. We don't need to do that. We do need to keep an eye on everyone's health, but, like, get used to seeing someone being, like, below 70% health. Get used to your tank hovering between 50 and 80% health at most. I mean, he or she is going to take a ton of damage, and you're going to have to keep your eye on them, but you're also going to have to watch for your group who is going to, you know, take substantial damage, and you might not be able to heal them right away.
And your mana, you have to keep a pretty good eye on at that point as well.
Right, and I
don't
think
that's going to be a serious issue.
Right, and I think you mentioned, you know, the need to top somebody off. You can't top somebody off like that, especially if things are really going in a certain direction. You know, you're not going to have the luxury. You're not going to have the mana to do it. You know, all you're going to be able to afford to do is get somebody to 75%, 85%. You can't afford it. As much as you may want to, the means are just not there to do it. And it's going to be a delicate balance. You have to ask yourself, you know, I need to heal this person. I obviously need to heal them, but I need to heal them enough where I know I can leave them alone for a little bit, and whatever else they might be facing won't kill them, without necessarily healing them so much where they're a mana sink and I need to top them off. It's definitely going to be a balance.
Smart heals is what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's going to be really kind of challenging, I think, for some of us, just because that flies in the face of the style of Holy Pally healing. Our style for the last, forever, has been to always endeavor to keep everybody at max health, because we don't have HOTS. We don't really have a lot of mitigation in terms of heals, or we didn't before our mastery. It's really all about, for Pallies, it's been to keep everybody topped off so that when they do take a hit, you can then push them back up. The idea of keeping people at, like, half health, 60% health, 70% health, is quite frankly terrifying to me, because I know I don't have the GCDs to bump everybody back up. At least I don't until, you know, Holy Radiance comes out at 83, or, you know, if I get lucky and everybody sort of clumped together and I can use Light of Dawn and I have 3 Holy Power, it's going to be really different for us. And I just really want to emphasize that for everybody. Like, do not expect that you can top everybody off. And subsequently, though, it's not necessary to keep everyone topped off. It's just necessary to understand where the danger zone really lies. Like, it's okay to leave somebody at 50% health for, like, 10 seconds, depending on the circumstances. They will probably, maybe, if they're playing smart, will not die in those 10 seconds before you can turn your attention to them. You really have to learn how to prioritize, and it's this whole triage style of healing that is coming into play, and we're really going to be seeing that a lot.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned with the, you know, your, how you were, you know, trained as a Holy Paladin, what you're used to as a Holy Paladin, I'm actually really excited to be a Holy Priest in this expansion, because I feel like for us, we're returning to form. We've always had a reputation as Holy Priests of being extremely versatile healers, and somewhere down the line we lost that. And I don't know if we lost it because the player base willingly gave it up and willingly consigned themselves to a very predictable pattern. I don't know if it was raid leaders who just stopped assigning us to more interesting assignments. I don't know, but somewhere down the line we stopped being the versatile healer. And one of the reasons that I really adore Chakra and love Chakra is we're really going back to that. We really can be versatile again, and we're really going to go back to earning that reputation that we had in previous expansions of being able to do it all. I love being able to tank heal. I enjoy Chakra Serenity immensely, and I look forward to having you say to me, I need you to tank heal. I'm thrilled to be able to do that. I think we could be good at it, and at the same time, I look forward to doing the raid healing that we were always known for in a different fashion. Renew's still going to be big. Circle of Healing, you're really going to want to make sure you're getting all the heals for your buck. I look forward to using Sanctuary. You know, I just look forward to being that versatile priest again and returning to what it was that I loved about priests that made me want to be one.
Yeah, part of the reason I'm so excited to get my priest back over to ET, even though I said I was going to do that this week, I promise. And then I'm going to start playing again and have some fun with Chakra. I may give you a ring about that.
It's a lot of fun, and I feel sometimes bad that I'm doing nothing but talking about it all the time, but people want to talk about it. People have a huge demand for it. People don't understand it. It's generating a lot of controversy. And to be honest, I don't know why. Like, I was talking to Wox last night, and we were looking at the healing boards on WoW.com, and it was just outrage, sheer outrage about, you know, this is terrible. I demand better. What are people expecting? It's an incredible spell, and it really makes me sad that people are just not giving it a shot, or people are overthinking it, I really want to do everything I can, and if it means I have to go on every blog that talks about Chakra and correct an assumption, I will do it, but, you know, dang it, these people are going to like it if I have anything to say about it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put the link on the site as well, but you definitely all need to read Astris's Guide to the Chakra Sutra.
I love that title, by the way.
Yeah. Great title, great read, definitely. Definitely check it out.
Thank you. And I just, you know, and I just think people, it's really not that bad. Like, I don't understand why, you know, everybody's got their, you know, their reservations about it. And I really want people to like it, because we have no reason to complain. We honestly don't. You know, could our mana issues be improved? Well, that's debatable as to whether they're issues or not. We're in such a good place. And, you know, I feel like we have no reason to complain when we see other classes who may have a more difficult time of it, like Holy Paladins and, you know, other things like that. We're in such a good place, and it would just be nice to see the Holy Priest community, or even just the priest community in general, acknowledge that. Like, we're, you know, be fortunate. You know, we have not that much to contend with. So, yeah.
Well, I think part of the problem is just that it's a new mechanic entirely. Like, when have you ever had to push one button before you can then push another button that otherwise did something else entirely? I can understand their initial confusion, but once you sort of understand this, then this, as the mentality for it, I think that it then becomes a little bit less mysterious.
And I think it's really marketed for people who wanted a challenge. You know, like I said, there were those of us who didn't want to be renew bots or rejuve bots and really wanted to do more with ourselves. And, you know, there were some players who were perfectly happy to swear off all their other heals and willingly put themselves in that box and not challenge themselves and balk when their raid leaders assigned them other assignments. And, you know, I think Chakra really speaks to those of us who wanted more for ourselves. You know, we wanted to be that versatile healer again. We wanted to be assigned tank healing again. We didn't want to have to watch the Circle of Healing cooldown and use it on every cooldown. And, you know, I think for those of us that wanted that, it's a beautiful thing. And I think there are people out there who still want to cling to those ideals of 5 renews in a Circle of Healing. And we're past that point now, and people need to accept that.
As a healing lead, I'm particularly looking forward to being able to assign you and, you know, other holy priests to, you know, a variety of different tasks. That's why I've been asking you to tank heal on Blood Princes. That's why I've been asking you to dispel on Lich King, for example. That's why I've asked you to do a variety of different tasks, because not only does it give me a good idea of you as a healer, it gives me a good idea of the class and its abilities in general.
And I'm really lucky, and I don't mean to do too much, you know, ego padding here, but I'm really lucky that I have a raid leader and a GM who wants to challenge me. You know, there are still far too many raid leaders out there who won't go there. You know, they're very comfortable, you know, buying into the roles and the stereotypes. And even as a druid, you know, there were nights I would tank heal if we were down a paladin. I was good at it. I loved it. And I remember hearing I didn't know druids could do that, you know, and from that point on, you know, that raid leader was a little more willing to go there, but it does make me sad. And I don't want to seem like I'm entirely blaming the players, but I think some of it might be the administration. You know, they're not willing to give that person a shot and see what they can do and see what the class can do. It's far too easy to buy into the gimmicks and the cliches, and that's sad. And I love that you don't buy into that. I love that you're willing and daring and you do push us and you do break it down. And I think that, and I wish more people had that. I really do.
Well, yeah, thank you. All right, so now that we've bored people with healing, let's talk a little bit about something that everybody can really sink their teeth into. Rep has always been an important part of this game, whether you're our good friend Tia, who has, 87 exalted reps or whatever the number is, rep has always been important. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about the different reps that we're going to need in Cataclysm. The Sons of Hodir, or as we used to call them, the Sons of Ho-Ho.
Who called them
that? I never heard that before.
Noon, lots of people. It's like Ho-Ho rap. Noon Shade started that out, and it just sort of took off from there. Yuffie, everybody, yeah.
Alrighty then.
Where were
My
you,
first
buddy?
Time hearing it, too.
Yeah.
So, the Sons of Hodir, obviously were everyone's go-to faction in Wrath for their shoulder enchants. You could get one at Honored and one at Exalted. And unfortunately, the only way for the majority Wrath to raise your rep with these people was to do daily quests and get really lucky finding like a hidden little object on the ground somewhere in Storm Peaks. Really painful rep to grind. They eventually came out with, the commendations that you could trade badges for, and that was great. But what we've got now is we're going to get Therizane rep. They're the Deep Home faction, and they're the ones who are going to give us at Honored and Exalted the shoulder enchants. And apparently, from what I understand, they have a tabard, which makes this so easy.
That's always a good thing.
Scandalous.
Oh, I'm so excited for it.
It's so much nicer than doing dailies and finding shards of stuff.
Honestly, you know, doing it on your main, digestible. But those of us that had 580s, 480s, absolutely not. Just no.
Yeah, and like, wouldn't you know it, as soon as my druid gets up to like, you know, 70-ish or so, and I'd made the decision to go become a scribe, that's when they make it all bind on account. I'm like, thanks, Blizz.
But then there were people like me that had the alts and mains on different servers, so I remember bringing Obscene over, deciding to make Obscene my main, and of course I got some upgrades, and Estrus is sitting on, you know, Maelstrom or something, and you can't mail things across servers. And I remember being so embarrassed, because people were like, who's this new priest who doesn't even have a shoulder enchant? And I would just be like, awkward laughter.
So yeah, it should be noted that if you are Exalted or even Honored with Hodir, you will probably want to keep using those shoulder enchants until you get to Honored with Therizane, which will probably be somewhere in your, I guess, 83, 84 range. And like, because otherwise those are the best that you have access to. So that's shoulders taken care of, and we get the possibility, I believe, of a tabard.
On a more specific note, I actually, shameless plug, I recently did a guest post for Ecclesiastical Discipline where I broke down the priest-specific rep rewards, what factions we're going to want to grind, what enchants are best for us, and there's also some really good starter epics and some starter blues even for a number of classes and specs, and I was kind enough, it was MMO Champion, MMO Melting Pot, I'm sorry, she was nice enough to link that on worldofmaticus.com, and she even went so far as to say that she would like to see more people really talk about, you know, what people need for factions. Because there's some factions, I gotta be honest, that have nothing for me, and I couldn't care less if I see them, but then there's some that we really want to focus our attentions on. So if there's any bloggers listening to this and you have a mage or a rogue or a shaman, cover that, please, because I feel that's something that people need to see.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And then there's, of course, the helm enchants, which you get at Revered, just like you saw in Wrath of the Lich King, you know, where the Kirin Tor was the caster helm, and Wormrest was more typically the healer helm enchant. So we have the same sort of thing going on in Kata. The Hyjal rep is good for all casters and healers. That's the arcanum you go for your helm enchant. There's no differentiation between them at all. So it's like flat out, I believe it's intellect and haste or something like that, like something that everybody can use.
I think haste is shoulders and crit is helm.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. Either way, it's like not specific. Like you're not going to get one with spirit and one without. It's like both usable by the same, by healers and casters alike. So that's Hyjal, which may indicate that Hyjal may not be a great place to go leveling right away, because so many people may be going straight there in order to just start repping up with Hyjal.
Well, to the same extent, if you want to start repping up, regardless of who's there, you may need to go there, just because it's the only way to start doing it.
I actually didn't find Hyjal to be that populated, especially, I mean, granted it was on the beta, but I didn't feel it was that overwhelming, and I didn't feel that the way, there's a lot of phasing that happens in Hyjal, so, you know, not to give too much away, but there are chances for you to be in an area that nobody else is, or maybe not as many people, if they haven't unlocked Hyjal that much. So I don't feel it's going to be that much of an issue to have Hyjal go first.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good thought there. Let's see here. What else do I have? If you're a tank, you want to rep up with the Earthen Ring. I don't actually remember where you get Earthen Ring rep from. Is that in Vashir?
So there's some in Vashir. I think there were some in Deepholm even, because I remember you're really having to again, not to give too many spoilers, but you're literally having to rebuild one of the world pillars.
Right.
And you're working with a lot of Earthen Ring agents to do that. So I remember there being a lot of rep there too.
If you are a strength DPS class, you'll want to go to Wildhammer if you're Alliance, or Dragonmaw if you're Horde. Those are your factions for your Helm Enchant. And something that I'm actually really looking forward to is in Uldum, the Ramkahen, I don't know if I pronounced that right, that's the Agility Helm Enchant. So.
Camels,
the cat people. Like, I love the Uldum zone. I think it is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to questing through it properly, because I got through it in beta, most of it anyway, in not good gear, because things weren't itemized yet, and half the quests weren't finished. Like, at one point, and I'll try not to give too much away, but at one point, I'm talking to an NPC, and he's like, yeah, come back in 2 weeks. What? Yes!
Awkward.
Seriously? Like, that happened with, like, two separate NPCs, and I was like, okay. And so after every patch, I, like, go looking for these two NPCs who may have moved and all that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to really going through that zone, and it's only helpful, I guess, that Kern's head enchant is from these people in this zone. So I figure I'll be spending a lot of time there as well.
Uldum to me reminded me of the Mummy movies, and not just because it has an Egyptian theme, but it's fun. You know, you spend the first two zones really, the world has ended, doom and gloom, very serious, you know, and Uldum has, you know, it could lead itself into being excessively deep. You know, you're given a lot of lore very quickly, you know, you're tossed into some political struggles, there's some other really interesting things going on that they could have made very serious, and I think going through three zones of pure serious would really kill anybody, but there's some slapstick moments, there's some, you know, fun chase moments. It's a really good breath of fresh air if you've been really bogged down by the lore of the first two places, and you learn a lot, and I feel it's a nice balance between fun and knowledge. It's not so fun that you're not really learning anything and you're not really paying attention to it, you know, but it's also not so knowledgeable where you're bored and you feel like you're in school. It's a good time.
Yeah, I it's honestly my favorite zone. I really liked Hyjal. I didn't really like Vashir much. I do like Deepholm. Twilight Highlands seems really cool, but I really loved Uldum, and I'm really looking forward to it.
One thing about Uldum, and I'm not going to name any names, but you're going to see a lot of old faces there. So you're really going to want to keep your eyes peeled. If need be, you know, go to Wowpedia and find out who these people are. But I know you're going to look at them and go, I've seen these people somewhere. And you're going to see a lot of NPCs that you probably never thought you'd see again, that you thought were very one-trick ponies. And it's going to be really great to see their role blown up quite a bit.
That's almost always the most fun, is making more connections just in the game itself.
And even, like I said, in such brief ways, like, it could be even an NPC that you did one quest with. You handed them one quest. It wasn't even a chain quest. It was an end of, you know, that's the end of the business deal. And then to find out 2 years later that, you know, you're walking them through Uldum is just kind of, wow, and it's cool.
All right, I guess that we're going to start wrapping this up here. We're going to go straight into our shout-out segment. This week, I'd like to give a shout-out to you fine people. Seriously, over 900 downloads in less than 2 weeks. You people are absolutely nuts, and we love you for it. So that gets you a shout out from me.
Yeah, I think that's partially mine, is that everyone, thanks for listening. Enjoy Cataclysm. I know I'm excited to stand online or just get ready to log on and all that stuff. I guess a second smaller shout out. You dumb people that keep grouping me with me, just stop it. Just stop it.
How about you, O? Do you have a shout out?
Oh, God. Readers. People who, I mean, anybody who comes by Divine Aegis or comes by the Stories of O and comments or comes back and who tells their friends or who links to me. MMO Melting Pot, Rebecca Judge, she's so kind to have linked me 2 weeks in a row and supported me before that. People who follow me on Twitter and are nice enough to, you know, leave comments. Other bloggers who have welcomed me and let me in and, you know, taken a chance on me. It's just so overwhelming that people take the time to do that, you know, to listen to me or read what I have to say. It's so mind-blowing, and I don't think people, you know, appreciate how much people don't understand how much we appreciate it. So thank you.
All right, and this week's tip of the week is in honor of O, and it is click on the light well.
Please.
Yeah, she'd be very happy if you do so. We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you want to share with us, feel free to email us at blessingoffrost@apotheosis-now.com. If you liked what you heard or what you thought, or if we were wrong, let us know. We want to hear you, definitely. You can follow Apotheosis and Kern on Twitter at ApotheosisET. And Kermo, you got anything?
Basically the same thing. I have a Twitter as well. You can find me at @originalestrus. The O's are capitalized, as they should be. Keep checking Divine Aegis. We have some really big things that are going to be happening soon. We have a new Holy Paladin blogger who was actually the original founder. He's coming back. So we're going to have a Paladin voice again. Lilitharian's going to start posting again, so expect some more discipline posts. Probably a redesign of the site. So DA is doing some really big things. So keep with us, and I look forward to showing those changes to everybody.
Yeah, check that out. We'll have the links in on the podcast as well. Then, last thing, leave comments and rate us on iTunes. Push us up some list somewhere. Should be exciting. Want to thank you, O, for chatting with us today.
Thank you for having me. I was thrilled to be included.
Well, I guess that brings us to the end of our third episode. So, not much else to say, but have a great Cataclysm, folks. I'm Kern.
I'm Magic.
I am Estrus.
Until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2010. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for his voice for our new intro, and thanks to you for listening.